I'll praise the Lord this morning for the sweet by and by. And we live in the nasty now and now, but there is a sweet by and by coming, and it is controlled and given to us by our Lord that saved us and has given us a home in heaven. If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John and John chapter number 3. Certainly the verses that we will read this morning are verses that are well known by most Christians, well known, especially one of them, known by many people that are even not a Christian. We'll begin with verse number 16. I guess this is the most commonly quoted verse that we have in the Bible by people that are both saved and lost. And we see the verse written on billboards. We see the scripture text given and written on T-shirts. It's a very common verse that we have. But we should never let that which is common lose its place of preciousness to us as a believer. So we begin reading in verse number 16 of John chapter number 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. In these verses this morning, we could say many, many things about John 3:16, John 3:17, John 3:18. These are verses that have been used in multiple situations of life. There is no telling how many sermons have been preached, books have been written, statements have been given on these verses. For God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world, he so loved it. And he loved it so much that he gave his Son, his only begotten, his unique Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us to give us everlasting life. That verse there, you could spend an eternity just comprehending or trying to comprehend the depth of God's love for mankind. And then those of us that believe how much he continues to love us. Verse 17 gives us a statement that retaliates against some false teaching or false doctrine. Verse 17 tells us that God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. There are a lot of people that say, well, why in the world did Jesus come if all he came to do was to condemn men to hell? That was not why Jesus came. Jesus came in order that man might live and escape the penalty of sin and the result of sin, which is death. So God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. But that world out there that's before us, that world that is lost without God, he sent his Son that that world might be saved. Thank God this morning salvation is offered. And then it tells us that if we believe, then we're not condemned. The condemnation of God, the wrath of God, no longer hovers over the lives of people that are believers, that are Christian. So he didn't send him to condemn us, but if we will believe, we are not condemned. But on the other side of the picture, The scripture says here that if we believe not, we are condemned already. It's not the actions of a sinner that condemns him. It's not what he does or what she does. It's not their lifestyle that condemns them. If they live a certain way that is contrary to the Word of God, that is not necessarily what condemns them to hell. But them not believing and not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says here they're already condemned before they ever do any action, before they ever commit any problems or gross, terrible, negligent sins in their life. They're already condemned before that takes place, simply because they do not believe on the only begotten Son of God. So those verses are full of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. But in verse number 19 and 20 and 21, that's primarily where we want to sort of focus this morning. He has introduced to us condemnation in verse number 17. He tells us the result of it is being perished and perishing again away from the Lord. He tells us that we are condemned because we do not believe. Verse 19, he continues on with that subject of condemnation. He continues on with that subject that mankind does not want to think about or to hear about. It's to be condemned. We have a court system in our country that sometimes people are condemned to prison or they're condemned to death. That means the judgment has been meted out and the judgment is there and they will have that carried out upon their flesh. They are condemned. You and I this morning, we were condemned before Jesus came by. And the world this morning stands before Him as condemned against all reality and they have not life. But this is the condemnation, verse number 19 says, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. That is the condemnation that is upon this world, that mankind, they don't want light, they don't want revelation, they don't want to be revealed, they want everything in secret or in darkness. So I want us to think this morning on the subject, that subject of darkness. And the reality of it is that so much darkness around us that if we're not careful, we will get used to that darkness and we will just sort of go with the flow and we'll be like everybody else and we will find ourselves in a position that we should not be in. I'm sure some of you, as I have, been in restaurants in the late evening and you go in there and you have to almost have a flashlight to read their menu. The darkness is there. I don't know why they think that is so great. Well, men love darkness rather than light. And so you go in there and you have to look, you have to focus, you can't see a whole lot of things around you. But if you'll notice as you are there, gradually things become, the images become more real to you because your eyes have become used to that darkness and you're able to focus. As that happens in a restaurant, so does it happen in society. As that happens in a place of business, so does that happen in our world in which we live. Because the Bible says here the condemnation that is upon men is because they want the darkness and they do not want the light because those that do evil, the light reveals their actions and reveals their nature, reveals their sin, and they want to keep it hidden, so therefore they love darkness. But those of us that are saved, those of us that are believers, the scripture says here, neither cometh to the light. Verse number 21 says, but he that doeth truth comes to the light. We are drawn to illumination. We are drawn to that place where we can see better and where we can accomplish more and we can do more because we are lovers of truth. We that are saved this morning, one day we believe the truth that God so loved the world. We believe the Word of God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that brings us to a glorious light. The Bible even talks about the gospel being the glorious light of God. There are things given us in Scripture that shows us that the Word of God illuminates and puts light upon truth and upon understanding. The Bible talks about our hearts being darkened, and certainly they are darkened by sin. The Bible talks about the world being in darkness. The Scripture talks about the prince of darkness. And so we have much in the Scripture that contrasts light and dark. This morning we have lights that are hanging from the ceiling, and the daylight, the sun is shining outside. And so if we turned these lights off, it wouldn't make much of an effect upon us because of that light outside. But later on tonight, around 9 o'clock, if you come in here and you do not turn on these lights, then you cannot see, because everything that is revealed right now through light is concealed by darkness. And men love darkness rather than light. We need to understand that, first of all, we are living in the dark. I don't think we have to debate the issue that this world is full of darkness. We do not have to read the newspapers this morning or turn on the news reports to realize that our world is a world that's tottering in the darkness of despair. We are living in what the Bible gives to us as the closing chapters of an age that is dominated by the prince and the power of darkness, the devil. He is in control of multiple things. He is in control of societies. He is in control of businesses. He is in control of nations. He is in control of people in general, because they are darkness. And so we find that we are living in that age that is dominated by that subject of darkness. And men do love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. The night is far spent, and the darkness is upon us, and more extensive and more intensive than it has ever been, this generation in which we live. The world, as we are in, is so consumed in darkness, it's like it's in the backside of a cave that has never seen the light of the sun. I remember the first time I went into a cave, and of course they all do it. You get back there in the back, as far back as you can go, and they say, "Now we're going to turn out all the lights." I said, "Well, I've been in darkness before. That's not going to be too bad. But I'll tell you what, when you're back there and the sun cannot get to where you are in what's called total darkness. You could put your hand right there and you wouldn't even know it's there. You could not even moving around, you could not even know anybody was around you." And to think that sometimes people are spiritually in that outer darkness, that world of darkness, and they do not realize and do not understand where they are. And I was so glad the lights came on. Thank God. And the light, the illumination was back, and we could see, and we could get around, and we could get out of there. And so we find that we're living in our age this morning. Men and women and societies and nations and people are living spiritually in total darkness. Therefore, they do not know what is ahead of them. They do not understand what's around the corner. They do not understand the judgment of God that is going to fall upon them, because their minds have been darkened by the prince of darkness. Men walk around in brilliance and in their attitude and in their mind, but their soul is still in darkness. Society can accomplish a lot of things and do many things, but yet their soul is still sold to darkness. He can do multiple things that just a few years ago was impossible. Now you look back medically and some of the advancements that's been made, some of the great things that were done years ago now are archaic and not even accomplished, not even tried, because they have advanced so much more, but yet their hearts are in darkness. And so we find that we are certainly living in what we call dark ages, the darkness of sin. The depths of present day humanity is given to us as vile and and any word you want to do, and any ungodly act that you want to describe, sometimes you have to guard what you say because it is so dark and so ungodly. And so our world this morning, I believe we are seeing some corruption that in these days is not ordinary corruption. I believe we are seeing a lot of demonistic influence, if not possession of people. And so darkness is everywhere. And you and I are there. It's a terrible thing when you read in the paper of some of the things that are happening. Some of the out of the ordinary things. Now it's an ordinary thing for men and women and society to sin and to do ungodliness, but to the depth of where they are in our society and where we are in our world and how ungodly they have progressed and gone away from the Lord, and their ungodliness is flaunted before God, certainly we understand that man has gone into darkness. We are seeing the compounded corruption from every direction that we want to look. The demonic combinations and the coercions and the iniquity that we hear about was not heard a generation ago, but it's common everyday thing now for us to hear some of the most hideous things that take place in our society. It's all a result that men love darkness rather than light. It is a result of men, society, turning their back upon God and not wanting the Lord and not desiring Him to have rule over them as they did in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "We'll not have you rule over us." And so the darkness continues to grow and continues the despair. The carcass of civilization is being eat up by the vultures of judgment, and it will continue to happen. It is a skid row of such in our society. It is a society that is given over only to ungodliness. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And the Bible says that God looked down upon man and He found nothing except corruption. He found nothing that would be good. He saw nothing that would be right. And Genesis chapter number 6, God says that's enough. And there was a judgment upon this world. And I believe God looks down upon this society, and you can be assured God knows what's taking place in society. You can be assured that God knows what happens in the darkness of our large cities and the world around and the metropolitan areas that are totally given over to the things of godlessness. Even in our own area, there's not a day goes by anymore that you don't hear about something taking place hideous just north of us in that little place called Evansville that did not ever used to have that. You know what's happening? Darkness is engulfing us. Darkness is coming upon us, and we are gradually being sucked into that. That corruption that is upon us. There are many that are living as the life of a prodigal that have left their father's house and they're living in the depths of despair of the pig pen, living in that area called darkness. The Bible two times describes darkness as gross darkness. Look, if you would, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 60. Isaiah chapter number 60 and verse number 2. Well, let's look at verse 1 with it. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Notice verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee, speaking of Israel. He says, so the darkness is coming, and then he says, it's not just darkness, it's a gross darkness. It's a darkness that cannot be described. Also in Jeremiah chapter number 13, the prophet Jeremiah, that was hated of the people of Israel because of the word of the Lord. He proclaimed that message and they threw him in a pit. They tried to destroy him. They tried to kill him because he had the word of God, because they were living in darkness. And they desired that darkness rather than light. And so the scripture says that they even plucked his beard and they threw him in a pit and left him for dead. And in Jeremiah chapter number 13, verse number 16, give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountain, and while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. As God has control of this world, he has control of light and illumination, or he has control of darkness and the depths of that darkness. He has control of what is taking place. In the evening, this afternoon, as all evenings, the sun will go down. It will set over here in the west. And the shadows will begin. And all of a sudden, those things that you have been able to see through the day are covered by darkness. And that's what is taking place in our society, in our world. And he says that men want that rather than light. Men desire that the light, the illumination, not be upon their deeds, because their deeds are wicked and evil and ungodly. And so we find that the scripture tells us that gross darkness, in these two instances here and other places also, it describes a depth of ungodliness. It describes a depth of not being able to see. It would be sort of maybe like we would say, total darkness. You don't move with the shadows. If the moon is shining, I went out the other night and the moon was very, very beautiful, very bright. And as I walked out the front door of the house, I looked down the driveway and I saw shadows. I saw, well, the moon is so bright, it's casting a shadow even in the darkness. But the only way you can have a shadow is to have a light. But when the light goes out, the shadows are gone. When the light is removed, the shadows of what is there are no longer there. The object is still there, but the shadow is not there. And it is given over to total darkness. And so we need to understand that we live in a generation, we live in a society that is in darkness. Secondly, not only do we live in darkness, but I'm so afraid, and I understand and I know that also we get used to the darkness. We get used to what's going on. We are sort of desensitized, and we are immune to some of the effects of the darkness that comes upon us. That's like that illustration about the restaurants that you go to, that you gradually get used to the darkness and you can see a little bit more than you could coming out of the light. But I understand, and I think we all understand here this morning, that we are living in a slow and subtle process, what sometimes we call brainwashing, what sometimes we just call this desensitizing, that we are getting used to all the evil that is around us and it does not affect us like it used to affect us. Most of it, and most people, are not even aware anymore of what is taking place. That's the trouble. That's the problem. Little by little, sin has made its appearance, and it appears to be less sinful as it was in the light. It becomes something that is just, that's the way it is. How do I know we get used to that? Because I get used to that. The things that used to bother me, it's just the way it is now. You watch your TV programs and little by little they inject some of those things that we begin to accept. I remember when abortion was a top issue years ago, and you would see it and just subtly it would be on some program and it would be okay. And now we don't even notice it. Now it just happens. We see those incidences of where things that used to tug at our heart and say, why do people live and why do they do the things they do? And now we just say, that's just the way it is. You know why? Because that's the way it is. And we've gotten used to it, and our magazines, our newsstands are loaded with sordid crimes and corruption, and we are engulfed in a tidal wave of ungodliness, and we just get used to it. This last year, we've seen things introduced in our own country that was terrible, is terrible. It will never be right, but we don't hear much about it because that's just the way it is. Men love darkness rather than light. We get used to it. We accept it as a matter of course. It's language and it's art and it's literature and it's music. All those things, that's just part of life. Well, our language can be ungodly, our literature can be ungodly, and our music can be ungodly because it's full of darkness. We no longer, as a society, hate that which is evil. We now accept it. And some people even promote it. Men love darkness. We no longer abhor evil as Job did. He eschewed it. He hated wickedness and evil. We no longer abstain from even the very appearance of evil. We just go on and live like everybody else because that's how it is. Sort of like Lot. He vexed his righteous soul. His soul was saved. He was a believer. He understood and knew who God was. But yet, his lifestyle and the things that he did, he was so engulfed by those things that finally, he just lived in the dark. He lost his influence with his friends. He lost his influence with his own children. He lost his influence with anyone because he and gotten used to where he lived. He cast his eyes toward Sodom and Gomorrah because he looked upon the well-watered plains, and Abraham said, you choose where you want to go and I'll take what's left. Well, Abraham should have and had every responsibility and every right to say, this is where I'm going and you take what's left. Abraham was the elder. But Abraham, he said, you choose where you want to go, Lot. He said, Our herdsmen are fussing and fighting. That ought not to be against brothers. So you go one way, I'll go the other. And old Lot looked toward well-watered plains. He looked for some things that would help his flock. He looked for some things that would enhance his ability for his riches. And so he chose what looked the best, and he cast his eyes toward that land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, when Lot left there, he didn't intend to go to Sodom. He was just going to be in the well-watered plains. That'll take care of my cattle. But when he got there, he found that there was a city, and he could have some influence in that city. And the Bible says he sat at the gate. You know what he did? He got close to the darkness. He got used to the dark. And as time progresses, he loses his whole family. His wife, his children, everything. Because he chose what would be good for his flock and not good for his children. This world may be good for sometimes our finances. But it's not so good for our family. what the world has to offer. They may offer prestige, they may offer money, they may offer the good times and the thrills, and it may be good for us that way. But anybody that's been in the church of the Lord very long realizes there's a price to pay. I dare say all of us in here today could call out names of people that got so close to the darkness, so used to the darkness, that they lost it all. What a shame that is. They're like Lot. They didn't lose their soul, but they lost what mattered on this side of eternity. I heard the story of an Irishman that came over to America. He stayed a year before his wife came, and when she comes over to join him after a few days, she says to him, "Don't they talk funny over here?" He said, "Yeah, but you should have heard them a year ago." You know what's happened? He's got used to the speech. And his wife has just got there. He said, "You should have heard them a year. If you think it's bad now, you should have heard them a year ago." You know what? Wasn't any different a year ago than it was now. The difference is what he was hearing. It's not any different today. It's just what we see. It's just what we let progress in our life. It's bad enough to live in the darkness, but to get used to it, what a loss. To get used to it and not to have an effect upon us, what a loss that is. There are a lot of signs that we are closer to the darkness because those things that used to bother us, as I mentioned a moment ago, they don't bother us anymore. We don't call the sin sin. We have names for them. We have medical terms. We have clinical terms. We have terms that sort of ease the sharpness of what happens. The idea comes along, so, well, I can't fight all of society, so I'll just be quiet. You know what's happening? Getting used to it. Now the world is in darkness today, and people are dying without God because the light is not shining. The light is withheld. The darkness has come upon us. But our business as Christians today is to let our light so shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine till Jesus comes. That's a little old song that many of us have heard. I probably learned that when I was 5 or 6 in Bible school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The problem is this morning, is this little light is not shining too brightly. And these little lights that could come together as a glowing torch is so dim that the world does not see us because the world loves darkness rather than light. The Bible says in Luke 11:33, and with this I'll close, "No man, when he lighteth a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they might come in and may see the light." Mark 4:21, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not be set on a candlestick?" What is the light for? Jesus said, a man that has light, does he have a light to put under a basket? No. That light is to be put on a candlestick. And that candlestick, by the way, is New Testament church. Does he put that light under a bed? No. You see, the bushel represents things around us, probably commercial business. Sometimes we let all those things put out our light. The bed here represents that which is pleasure and just fun and games. Is our light for business? Is our light for pleasure? No, our light is that the world might see Jesus Christ living in us. We are living in darkness, and that darkness is affecting us. But as a Christian, our business is to let our light so shine that others might see Christ living in us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He is the light of the world. And we just twinkle a little bit. And may God help us this morning not to let the darkness overtake the light. It can. It does every day in nature. Tonight, if we were in the wintertime, tonight when we leave and we turn out the lights, darkness overtakes it. The only thing that we can use to escape the darkness is the light. That's the only thing. How many of us have used our cell phones as a light? Sometimes you get up of the night and you take that cell phone just so you can see because your eyes can't focus. Darkness. And the only way the world can see Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is that He sees it through us. Let our light so shine. May God help us to stand. And if one little light is all we've got, it still overtakes total darkness. How many of you have those solar lights around the yard? It gets dark. Everybody got them. It gets dark. All of a sudden, you see the lights. I put a new one out this week, and even from my front door all the way down here, I can see that little light. Just one little light. But 100 yards away, I can see it. May God help us to be that little light that somebody can see Jesus Christ 100 yards away. Let's stand together this morning.